We continue tonight our series of sermons from songs as we look at the song and the message in it, Till the Storm Passes By. Incidentally, this picture was a picture that I took from my backyard. I do nature photography as a hobby, and one of my favorite subjects is lightning. And Stacy quite often is not very happy with the fact that while most people are running for cover, I'm looking for the highest hill so that I can get pictures of lightning. But I enjoy that because of the challenge of it. Till the storm passes by. The first stanza of our song tonight, in the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Have you ever felt like there was a storm in your life? Maybe you felt like your life was a storm, or maybe you just felt like you were going through a hard time. My guess is, in an audience of this size, that there's someone, probably some, who are going through something right now that you feel like is just a storm in your life. And you don't know what the end looks like. Well, you're not alone. Of course, many have felt that way. As a matter of fact, David, and through inspiration, penned these words in Psalm 55, verses 1 through 8. And we'll start with verse 4. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at peace, be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. David, in this psalm, speaks of longing to have wings that he might fly away from his troubles, find a quiet place, a place in the desert, a place in the wilderness, far away from everything, so that he could have peace. And we know that in most cases, we can't do that. We don't get to escape our problems quite that easily, do we? But have you ever felt like David? You just wanted to fly away. You just wanted to find a place of peace. I would suggest that there's something better than having wings to be able to fly away and find peace. I would suggest that there is peace to be found in the midst of the storms of life. That there is truly a peace that you can have. Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30, David again pens this. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up in the heavens and they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. And there's your answer. To find peace in the midst of the storm is not to escape it. You probably have found, as I expect all of us have at some point, that trying to escape our problems does not really give us relief of our problems. Because no matter where you go in life, there are going to be problems to deal with. But what if you could take your peace with you? What if you could enjoy the calmness of peace in the midst of the storm? What if you could reside in the eye of the hurricane, if you will? You know, a hurricane has fierce gale force winds that cause much destruction. And yet, while you're in that hurricane, all you see is the rain, and all you feel is the wind, and all you hear is the thunder, the wind, the crashing, the sound of the rain. If you were to rise above a hurricane, as you've often seen on the weather channels, and you've seen on weather maps, you realize that it's a large spiral. And there's a center of that hurricane called the eye. And there in the eye, it's peaceful. The wind is swirling around the eye, but within the eye of the hurricane, it's peaceful. What if you could dwell within the eye of the hurricanes of your life? I would suggest that you can. Now, I'm not diminishing the problems that you face. We all face them. And I'm not diminishing the pain. But what if you can find peace even in your pain? What if you can find joy even in your sorrow? What if there is a peace that is greater than the storms? And we all know as children of God that there is. Sometimes we forget it, and we need to be reminded. But there is indeed peace. The hollow of his hand. We are reminded again of Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Jesus had been preaching to the multitude that had come to him, and they were on the shores and pressing against him, and he got into a boat, and he began to preach from that boat. The boat was his pulpit. And after he finished preaching, they went out into the sea in that boat. I'm sure he was very tired from preaching and the toils of the day. And he laid down to rest. He went to sleep, and a gale, a huge storm, came across the sea. And the waves were high, and they were crashing into the boat and coming over the boat and beginning to fill the boat with water. His disciples were in fear for their lives. It appeared that they would die. Yet, there was no need for fear, because Jesus was in the boat. They forgot that the God who created the universe, who is larger than the storms, who is more powerful than all of the forces of nature combined, was in the boat. And so they awakened him. Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And he arose, rebuked the winds, and said, "Peace, be still." Immediately, there was calm. Immediately, there was peace in the midst of what had been a storm. And he looked at them and said, "How is it that you had no faith?" I would suggest that when we face these trials that we will face in life, I would suggest that we look at them as opportunities to build our faith. I would suggest that we look at them as a test to see whether we will look to God and truly trust Him. You see, here's the thing about that. What we are so inclined to do is to be driven to our knees and come to the throne of God's grace and lay our burdens down before Him and then get up off of our knees and pick up our burdens, put them back on our shoulders, and walk away. We're just not willing to truly give God control. And you see, God is in control. He's in control of the world, but what He will not control is your will, because He gives you free will. He wants you to trust Him. But you see, quite often the problem is that we have a desired outcome in mind, and that is the only outcome we are willing to see. It's the one that hurts less. It's the one that is the most rewarding. It is the one that puts us in a better position. And it's really usually geared around us. Unless it is maybe a trial that a loved one is going through, and then it's geared around them. But what if that's not the answer? Would I be so bold as to claim that I know the right answer? I don't. But I know the one who does. I don't know the future. I don't know the implications of what is going on. I don't know what the end looks like. But I know the one who does. Why not trust Him? Why not truly put that burden in His hands and trust Him and pray, "Thy will be done," and mean it? And realize that whatever His will is, it is the best outcome. It may not be the best for me as I see it, but it is the best. I am one of over 8 billion people on the face of this earth. And I realize that my life, to a large extent, centers around me and my family and the people in my circle, you. But I'm just a piece in this masterpiece of a puzzle. And I'm guided by the master's hand. He is the painter of the portrait, not me. He is the master artist, not me. He has a plan. I don't have a clue. So isn't it best that I just trust Him? And pray with the full intent of bearing out the implications of these words, "Thy will be done." I would suggest to you that there is peace to be found in that. When life is no longer centered around me, but is focused on God and His will, there is peace in that. When I can have the resolve to accept God's will, whatever it may be, and whatever it may require of me, and glorify Him in that moment, there is peace to be found. We talked this morning in class, discussing marriage, about the fact that if a husband and wife are both in the marriage for themselves to get what they can get out of that marriage, they will never be fulfilled in their marriage. They will never be truly happy. But if each one is devoted in that marriage to make the other one the happiest person in the world, to seek the other's happiness, to fulfill the other one, then both are fulfilled and find happiness and fulfillment in that relationship. It's also true of our relationship with God. If my relationship with God is not about me, but it's about Him, and trusting Him to be caring for me, then I can be fulfilled in that relationship and find peace even in the storms. Did Jesus care about His disciples? Of course He did. He loved them. He chose them. They were His family here on this earth. He went so far as to say, when Mary and his brothers were seeking to see Him, he said, these are my family. This is my mother and brothers, His disciples. He loved them. He just needed them to trust Him. Does He care about the storms in your life? Absolutely. Believe that. Know it's true. Does He hear your prayers? Not only does He hear your prayers, He takes your prayers to the Father. He is your mediator. He is involved in your life. Isaiah 25, verse 4, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, and a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." God stands in the midst of it all, and He has power over it all. The second stanza of our song says, "Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow. There's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies." Satan has a way of using our weaknesses and our doubts and our fears to cloud our minds. And if he could, if you let him, he would obscure all hope from you. He cannot take hope from you. Hope is not his to take. But he can obscure it from you. He can cause you to be blind to it. But we have faith in the one who truly holds tomorrow in his hands. Nothing is more dreadful than having no hope. And there are those who have little to no hope in life. And they try to find ways to dull the pain. They've given up searching for hope. They're just looking for a way to make it through the day. And far too often, that is found in the bottom of a bottle, in a needle, a pill, illicit relationships, one broken relationship after another, just trying to find something. All the while, resisting the very one who can give them what they so much desire. Those who have hope can see beyond the storm. You don't have to be afraid in the storm because you know the storm will pass by and life will go on. If it were to not go on, then something better awaits. It's a win-win situation for the child of God. You can't lose that way. If I live through this, there's another day. If I make it through this, through God's help, I can look back on it as a memory. If it takes my life, I am even better off, because I trust in the grace of God. You can't lose as a child of God. Job lost more than anybody I've ever known, anybody I've ever heard of. He was an extremely wealthy person with a big family. And one day, Satan fell on him and took away everything in his life. Killed all of his children. Destroyed all of his crops. Killed all of his livestock. Left his wife to tell him to curse God and die. And his three friends who weren't very good friends, who came to him to tell him he must be some kind of sinner. His body was covered with painful boils. And he got to the point where he said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is a breath. My eye will never again see good." He got to the point that he lost hope. He didn't lose faith, though. He lost hope. But he still trusted God. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see the hope. He could see nothing but the pain and the misery and the loss, but he knew that there is a God who could. Child of God, even when you can't see the hope, you rest securely in the hands of a God who is hope. And he can see you through it. He can see you through that time if you will not take your eyes off of it. And even Job was delivered from all of this. And he was able to look back on it. That's a terrible memory. But a moment in his life that he moved beyond. Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his counsel." Third stanza of our song. "When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee where the storm passes by." What if the storm lasts? What if my lot in life is to live the rest of my life enduring the storm? So be it. Praise God. I live it with Him. And there's something better. Even that is not without hope. Because my hope ultimately is not found in this life. My hope is found when I leave this old world behind and I go home. And I dwell with my Lord when the storm has passed by. And know that God has promised, and He will wipe away all the tears. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Revelation 1, verse 21, verse 4, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Truly a place of eternal hope, a place of eternal bliss, a place where sin and all of the pain and the misery that it has brought to this world is not allowed in. When Satan is finally vanquished and cast into his prison, hell. Don't focus on the long night of turmoil in this life. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. He is your Father. He is the God of all comfort. Remember where you're going. Keep your eyes on the prize. The chorus says, "Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by." You know what the hollow of your hand is? You hold up your palm, that spot right in the middle makes a little hollow. And it's the safest part of your hand because it's right there in the middle. If you put a ball in your hand, it rests right there. And we rest in the hollow of His hand. Isaiah 40, verse 12, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." He's far above and beyond it all. Go out and look into the night sky and see the stars that are a small part of our solar, of our Milky Way galaxy, and our solar system, which is a very small part of that larger galaxy, of which is one small part in one galaxy in a universe so vast that we cannot even imagine, we can't even comprehend, we don't even know, we've never seen its end. With the most powerful telescopes that man can put into space, we can't see it. And God holds it all in His hand. If He controls the universe, if He holds that in His hand, isn't it amazing that He is so big that He holds that in His hand, and yet He knows my name. Jesus said he knows the very hairs on your head, the number. There's nothing about you He doesn't know. He knows your doubts. He knows your fears. He knows those thoughts that you've never voiced. He knows the pain that you hold deep in your heart. He knows the times that you've overcome. He knows your victories. He knows your faith. He knows your name. You're His child. What have we to fear? What have we to fear? The storm holds no fear for us. maybe one reason. I enjoy storms. It's because I see within them such power. And I'm reminded of the power of God. You know, there are times in your childhood that stand out vividly in your memory. One for me was walking up the driveway. Now that's a road. Our driveway is a road. It has a name, a sign, Groom's Road. It goes deep into the woods, past two pastures, up and down a few hills, around a few curves, through the woods. And I was walking down the road, and a storm came. And I could hear it coming. I could hear the winds coming. And I was watching the trees being whipped back and forth. And then the lightning started, the thunder. And I stood there in amazement of the power. Sometimes my mind goes back to that. For that moment, my childhood, and that wonder for the power of God. I remember going up to the pasture, lying down and watching the stars, with no lights for miles around, no street lights for miles around. Seeing the Milky Way as if someone just poured milk through the sky. Being amazed at the God who created it all. He's my God. He's your God. He's your Father. You have nothing to fear. I've shared with you in class for the time of my life that I went through, not the worst time of my life in that sense, an accident, a construction accident that almost took my life, and the surgeries and the pain, brain damage, and all of the things that came after it. Trying to recover from all of that, see through the fog. I wanted to bring a ball up here and hold it up in my hand to show you how a ball rests in the hollow of my hand. Then I realized it'd be hard to do because I can't bend my wrists. My right arm is in an external fixator. If you've never seen an external fixator, it looks something like an erector set. And it went from my hand up my arm up to my elbow to hold my arm together. My left arm is in a full cast. My hands were paralyzed. I couldn't move my fingers. Couldn't move my hands. And it was a humbling time of my life. I was a very proud person. And I thought I didn't need anybody. And I found out just how much I need people. Just how much I need to depend on people. Because I had to depend on people to feed me, to brush my teeth, to bathe me, to clothe me. And I was asked by someone who went through a similar accident at the same construction site, suffered depression as a result of it. And he asked me, how did you do it? How did you get through it? Because my injuries were very much more severe than his. And he said, I went through depression. How did you not? Isaiah 40, verse 31. That's how. I can remember times when I would be so frustrated because I couldn't do anything for myself. I couldn't even finish a conversation because of the brain damage. And I knew it was happening. And it was so frustrating to be trying to speak a sentence and to start a sentence focusing as hard as I could on what I wanted to have said by the end of the sentence and not being able to finish it. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. And when I start to get frustrated, when I start feeling sorry for myself, I would sing, "Teach me, Lord, to wait." And I would remember that those that wait on the Lord shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I had to trust in him. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 25. When you go through the storms, when you go through that moment, that time that is so hard, read this. Learn the song, "Teach Me, Lord, to Wait," and sing it, and mean it, and trust Him. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name and by the greatness of His might and by the strength of His power. And not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a promise. Usually one of the first things people say when they walk into my office, has been the case for many years, is, "Why do you have so many eagles?" That's why. Because I was reminded of a God who would never leave me. And He would cause me to mount up with wings like eagles. He will you. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever doubt it. Trust Him. Sing with me.
In the dark. I have always
Are you in the hollow of His hand? Are you trusting Him? How's your faith? Do you have the security, the peace of knowing, when you lie your head down tonight, were you to wake up, not in this life, but on the other side of eternity, that you would rest forever in the palm of His hand? I hope so. But if not, if there's a doubt in your mind, do what you need to do to make that right. Meet the storms of life hand in hand with Him. Trust in Him. And one day, we'll get to go home to Him. And if you're not His child, you're trying to make it on your own. Aren't you tired of trying to live this life without Him? Won't you give yourself to Him tonight? Make that decision while you still have time. Would you come while we stand and sing?